record 5. Starting shortly. Who?
You've got a couple of minutes and you can be busy with it.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Is this a die? No, it's the Americans have died on me.
If you want, I give you mine.
No, 1 second. Ah. 6-1, 6-1, 9. 6-8, 6-9. Hello. I can say hello. Hello, hello. 5. Here we go. 5.
Anyway, you're world champion.
Kof Zion Nissen, Thursday the 2nd of May, Rabbi Yomim Gemezian. Changes in technology affecting halacha. Today's share has been sponsored with the first shlema of Naomi Chana Bas Shoshana Rosita, and also for Shoshana Rosita Bas Malka. Oh, we've got a change in technology here.
Change of technology.
All yours.
Okay, we'll just give a little introduction to what we're doing here, and then we'll go on. A few months ago, my older brother gave me a phone call up in Eretz Yisrael, and he asked me that I should, he said he's looking for someone to give some classes to relatives, uncles, and people in New York, that they're not, they need a kvius in learning, and it's the easiest is if someone comes to them and learns in their office with them. But it's not so easy to get people into the city in different places. So he said, with the time difference in Eretz Yisrael, I'm 7 hours ahead. So when they do their Mincha Mariv, so once they're already there, I can call in and give them some type of shiur. So we started off with audio, and then they wanted more video. So we started doing it a live class over Skype, and now Zoom. And we quickly realized that doing Hilchasisis wasn't able to get everybody's attention in the middle of the workday. So I switched the topic to practical cases of business and monetary halacha that people aren't aware of that happen every day. And we saw that we had atzlacha with that. And we slowly we had more and more people joining in until we now take a video and actually started a website where we post the videos afterwards. The videos are between like 4 and 8 minutes, but we're aiming to about 5 minutes each. And it's called moneyhalacha.com. And they've also now created a WhatsApp group where if you could join, you could get the daily video, which would be on weekdays, Monday through Thursday. It's about four to five minute video, which goes through a practical case. So what I speak in those shiurim is I'm not a posek in halacha, but I go through different svarim on Choshen Mishpat that deal with all the practical cases, and we deal with it, especially if it's a live shiur, people can interact back and forth. So I'm not going to read from the svarim themselves, because everyone here could really do that, I'm not here for that. But going through these shiurim over the past few months, a few things have come up that I'm looking in these svarim, and we've actually had to adapt and change what I'm saying with the people. I always ask a rav or a posek before that, but I want to go through some of the things that we should recognize. Many of the cases, when we open a sefer, a lot of the times, what we're looking at, we always have to adapt it and see. The halacha never changes, just the technology changes, and then the case actually changes. That's why I specifically wanted to name the name of the shiur as changes in technology affecting halacha and not changing halacha, because, of course, the halacha never changes. So, the first case we were speaking about is we go through many different types of cases, technology, keeping websites open on Shabbos, doing overnight deliveries with Amazon, if you're allowed to do it, Erev Shabbos deliveries, two-day shipping, one-day shipping, online advertising, and also in regards to property management on Shabbos too, as well as cases of Yisurei Anah. So the first main sefer we're using in the beginning is this sefer. It's called Commerce on Shabbos by Rabbi Yosef Kushner. He came out with one sefer about 6 years ago called Commerce on Shabbos. He just came out last year with another sefer called Commerce on Yisurei Anah. These are two of the many sefers that we use, but I just want to just say that today we're going to be speaking about cases that he spoke about and showing how, even though this sefer came out only 6 years ago, cases that we've had to adapt with changes in the technology and the way the world runs and how it actually made a very big difference in what comes out in the case. So the first thing we're going to speak about is about Amazon and how many people are very interested in this. How are they allowed to make an Amazon order? Many people, they want to order something on Friday, and they don't know if they're allowed to order it, it comes on Shabbos, or if it's Erev Yom Tov and they want to order something and it comes out on Yom Tov. So first, let's get the case straight. The problem with making an overnight delivery on an Amazon package or any real company that you want to make an overnight package is that there's an issue of amir la'akum, that you can't tell the goy to do something. And what you're doing over here is, even if the company is a kablanos, that they're set and they do their work on their own and they're not paid per hour specifically for what they're doing, you're not allowed to be kaveya that the goy should do a malacha for you on Shabbos itself. So in essence, if you tell any company, not just Amazon, you tell a company on Erev Shabbos to deliver something for you on Shabbos itself, and of course if there's not enough time they can arrange the whole delivery, you are going to be essentially telling the Amazon or whatever company it is that they have to deliver the package on Shabbos. So since you are being kaveya that the goyish company, the goyim, have to do the work for you, it's called kaveya malachta b'Shabbos, and that's going to be yasu. So even if they're kablanos. So just to point out, many of the psukim in this sefer also are from the mechaber's father-in-law, is Rav Shlomo Miller from Toronto, a very big pesik in America. So he says a very interesting chiddush. He says that when we're speaking about making a package and telling the goyim that they have to do work for you, he says that the only issue is it's going to be on a Friday and you're telling them to overnight the package and they're going to work on Shabbos. But he says that if you would want to do a two-day shipping on Thursday, even though it's a guaranteed shipping that it's going to come out on Thursday, it's going to come out on Shabbos itself, because you ordered on Thursday, he says it can be perfectly fine. What's the reason? Is because since there already is something called one-day shipping, so since you are making it, making an order, and there is technically enough time for Amazon or whatever company it is that they could deliver your package before Shabbos on their own by doing one-day shipping, so Shlomo Miller says that it's okay. Now you might argue and you say, I didn't pay for two-day shipping, I only paid for one-day shipping. I didn't do that, it's not what I wanted. So that's not going to make a difference here, because when we're saying you're kaveh malachta, you're telling that the guy, you're making it the guy has to do work on Shabbos. If Amazon, let's say the way their system works or whatever company it is, they allocate their items and it's easier for them to do a one-day shipping on your item, so then they would send your item in one day. It just doesn't, it's not better for them, it doesn't work out in their systems that they should send it. But since they could technically do that shipping in one day, so then So it comes from Shlomo Miller, and he says, since they could technically do it in one day, so therefore you are allowed to set a package to be sent with two-day shipping, that it should arrive on Shabbos itself. Now I know here in London, especially with Amazon, most of the shipping is within one day. There is no two-day shipping. But in America, the way Amazon works with Prime is that it's two-day shipping. One day is an extra thing on top of that. So it's not much going to be... But for other websites, let's say, just to keep that in mind, that you are allowed to set up a two-day shipping. So that's already coming from the sefer. So when we said this halacha...
Technical question.
What was that?
It's a purely technical question.
Yeah, but now... it comes up many times.
Now they're going to do shipment within 2 hours. So technically,
yeah.
Same would apply if you can...
Right. So that's where... Yeah.
2 hours before shipment.
Right, so when this... That's what I'm saying. The first thing I want to say, I'm going to see a few of these cases, but the first case I wanted to say, specifically with that case, is that where we had to adapt. The Sefer says this whole thing about two-day shipping. The Sefer says you wouldn't be able to do one-day shipping. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I wanted to say, the first thing I wanted to go through is that Nowadays, the technology and the shipping, the logistics of all the shipping companies has become much quicker, especially in London. You'll apply this case itself. Since two-day shipping is already in the past, we already are dealing with one-day shipping and same-day shipping. So since we've already dealt with same-day shipping, and these big companies are able to deliver the packages in the same day, so I haven't spoken to a posik about this, so I'm not paskining, but according to this logic of Shlomo Miller, we could already go a step ahead with this halacha, and technically speaking, I'm not saying a psak halacha, because I'm not a posik, and usually in all these things, it's always better to ask someone, but according to what we're saying now, is that if it's Friday morning, and you're on Amazon or one of these companies, and you see that same day shipping is available for your item, right? You see it, you'd have to actually put the thing in the cart and then be about to buy it and then see when they can get it to you. And again, even if there's an option to pay extra, that doesn't make a difference because that's of their own accord, that they choose that they want to ship the package later. But since it could technically, if it comes up as an option, same day shipping, and they would deliver it before Shabbos starts, or they could deliver it, that's going to be a question, because you don't know if they're able to or not. But I'm saying in a case that you know for sure that this item, and that's all the items in the cart, would be able to be delivered before Shabbos, so then you could technically do one-day shipping when it's going to arrive on Shabbos, according to this logic.
Does it make a difference how they send it? Because let's say if you ask for one-day shipping, they send it with a courier who can, like, you know, basically... If it's 500 miles, it'll take him whatever 8 hours. But if you take 2 day shipping, then they'll send it first to a distribution center.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how they decide to ship it to you. At the end of the day, if they want to get it to you, then
why is it not different than they're using?
If anything, if they use this isn't this exact halakha I'm speaking about. But if they actually use another company,
but you know that technically the 2 day shipping is not possible to do in one day.
Yeah, it is possible. If they comes up on their system, it's an automatic system. They know if they could get it to you faster. The computer will say that the package will arrive earlier. But we're talking about when Amazon ships it themselves. I'm not going to get into it, but many times when Amazon or whatever company you're buying it from uses a third-party company, so then in extreme cases where there is a big loss of money, we could sometimes rely on Amira La Amira, that if the Goy is using another Goyish company to do something, then in certain cases that actually makes it easier if they use an outside company than other than themselves. But I'm not going to get into that. So that was the first thing I wanted to say, is that going through the shiurim, we came out that even...
It's called a Goy.
It's a company. The company has a system. The computer's not a Goy. Interestingly, another thing that actually changes with happens with overnight shipping and shipping and stuff is that it used to be, like I said, you can rely on an Amira Le Amira. I wasn't going to say this, but you can rely on an Amira Le Amira in cases of extreme circumstances where there's a big, great financial loss. I'm not going to get into what is called a great financial loss. Nowadays, people have their own definition of what that means. Rav Vosner is very strong against how people define that, and he's very upset how people say what it is. But one of the interesting things actually is in the changes of technology, it used to be that we could rely on an Amira Le Amira sometimes, where you would give the package to the UPS, and then he would inform the next person in line, and the next person in line, so you would technically be in Amira Le Amira. But he brings over here in the Sefer actually, is that nowadays, he was mechaving to this, is that since many times when you want to send a UPS package, or whatever it is, many times you print the shipping label yourself, it has that QR code, and essentially, by printing that QR code and putting it on your shipping package, you are giving, it's like a handwritten message of where this package needs to go. Because in that QR code is all of the shipping information for every single person along the way. All they do, they scan it, and it says what to do. So he says that since you are technically printing instructions onto your shipping package, so it's not that you are giving the package over to one person and then you say goodbye. You have technically written instructions on that package to every single person along the way. So it's now defined as a direct Amira to every single person along the way. And now we actually, because of the advances in technology, we lose the ability to rely on Amira La Amira in very big loss cases of loss. What he suggests over here is that you go to one of these third-party shipping companies where they ship the company for you. They ship the item for you. So you'd actually go to one of these stores in the street that they offer you shipping through UPS. So you drop off your package by them, and then they go and hire UPS. So in that case, that would be 100% case of an Amira Le'Amira, because you are not telling the shipping company what to do, you are telling a store to tell the shipping company what to do, and that would be a case when you're stuck, and you would actually have to send something on Erev Shabbos. That's what they use. So that was the first thing I wanted to say, is that nowadays it could be that as technology advances, we could already maybe do overnight shipping on Friday, according to this psak of Rav Shlomo Miller. The second case I want to talk about is in regards to running a website on Shabbos. When running a website on Shabbos, if it's a Yiddish company, so there's two parts that we have to deal with. There's one part of you making money on Shabbos, and there's a second part of whether you have to be worried about someone who's not from going onto your website on Shabbos and being mechshar, because it's an isra lifnei iver. You maybe have a chiyuv not to have your website running on Shabbos because someone could come onto your website. So
then you go to someone else's website, not
that, that does come into the case. But what if you have something special on your website that you're making them come to your website? That's one of the factors. Now, or if you have a flash sale, or if you're in Eretz Yisrael and they're all Jews. So these all come into the cases. So let's deal with the first thing, making money on a website on Shabbos. Not getting, assuming that all your customers are goyim, so again, this is one of the cases he speaks of it in the Sefer, assuming all your customers are goyim, so you have to deal with mekach u'memkar, which is when you're making a kinyan or any transfer of ownership on Shabbos. And I just want to actually say is that all these, anytime you can't do business on Shabbos, is no iser in the Torah that says you can't do any business on Shabbos. The reason why you're not allowed to make business and do business dealings in Kinyanim on Shabbos, the Rambam says, is the whole reason why is because you're maybe going to come to the Isra of Ksiva. You might write on Shabbos. Because a person may come to write on Shabbos, the Rabbanim were geyser that you can't do any business at all. No transactions, no transfer ownership of nothing. All because of this thing that maybe someone would become to be over in one of the Lamed Tes Melachos of Ksiva. That's the actual source to all of this, of doing business in Shabbos, according to the Rambam. Yeah, that is one of the two also. That was the main. It could be three different things about speaking to. But there are three different reasons why you would not be able to do it. That's because of Merla Akum. It's a Machlekes Poskim, whether it's an Isser Derabbanan or Deraisa. Most come out that it's an Isser Derabbanan. Now, but in regards to this one, the mekach u'memkar would be the issue. There's also an issue of schar shavis, of engaging in business activity also, which the Rabbanu were goyzer in regards to hilchos Shabbos. So I'm going to get through this. I want to get to what the chiddush is. This is part of the sefer. But so they bring from the Maharshag that this question already came up in the earlier generations, and they had some type of vending machine. I'm not sure how it worked. But he used to be sitting out on Shabbos, and people used to be able to buy items on Shabbos. So he said that if the vending machine or item is not on Jewish property, and since it's completely automated process, there's no person involved, you could be at home, so he said that it was allowed. And the second item, because of Schar Shabbos, the Isser of Schar Shabbos is mainly when you use the actual time of Shabbos, or you're taking advantage of Shabbos itself, to make money. In this case, you're not actually, the item is an item. It's not connected to Shabbos. You're buying an item, and since it's exchanged for an item and not for a service or time, there's no Isser of Schar Shabbos. Shlomo Miller also brings another reason that it's okay, is because he says, since you're buying the item for use of outside Shabbos hours, that would also be another hetter. So those are the reasons why you would technically be allowed to make money or keep your website open on Shabbos. Now, there are some poskim that don't agree with this. The main psak is that it's allowed, and in cases where you can't stop it, the processing of the actual transaction from happening on Shabbos, then you would could process on Shabbos. However, if you are able to delay payments, the processing of the credit card until later, for example, let's say many websites, they don't charge you until the item is shipped. So if you could incorporate it into your website that you don't charge the person's credit card until your item would ship, and you would just delay that shipment until outside of Shabbos, that would be the best way of doing it. Now, even though we're saying that according to the halacha, you don't have to, there are some companies of note that they actually do shut down their websites, such as artscroll.com have shut down their website. I was on their website on Shabbos, and I saw that their website was shut down. There's two candles showing up, and you're wondering how I was on their website. It was Motzi Shabbos. It was Motzi Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. wanted to order something, so I went onto the website, and the two candles came up and said it was Shabbos, and that we have to respect Shabbos, and I shouldn't be on their website. So they do shut down. I know that I've seen it myself, that Art School shuts down their website for Shabbos. But another very big company, B&H Photo in America, they're one of the biggest electronics companies. I think they have $5 billion of sales. And on their app alone, they sell $500 million of sales. They actually shut down their website. They don't have to, like we're saying, but it's better to. And the Gemara comes out and says there are very good things about not doing business on Shabbos, even if you have a heter to. There is more to this story about B&H. I can't say it on camera. After the speech, I'll say more about how they're careful about what they do on Shabbos. They are Hasidic. So I just want to get through. There's more cases. So again, so that's in regards. So we're saying on the website, it's best to delay the payment until after Shabbos. Now, we've covered the side from you. What about the side of whether or not a non-religious person may come to your website? So they say that if rove of the goyim are not, a rove of the people on your website are goyim, which usually is the case, then that's not going to be a problem. But in a case where you have rove Jewish people that are coming to your website, for example, artscroll.com, or if you specifically sell Judaica, mostly your customers are going to be rove, are going to be Jewish people. Or like we said, let's say you run a website in Eretz Yisrael, then automatically most of your customers are going to be from Eretz Yisrael. That's why any Israeli who has a website, it's going to be a bigger, much, much bigger problem for you to run a website in Eretz Yisrael than to run a website anywhere else in the world, according to this. Now, so for those cases, it would actually be better to close. The reason why, the Gemara says that Rav Ashi used to sell firewood to a Goyish temple. Now, even though the firewood usually meant to heat, he knew that some of the wood was going to be burnt for Avodah Zarah, and even so he's able to do it. Why? Because it was a Daita Derub, but he does it for the Rov. So therefore it was allowed. Now, that's where they come out in the Sefer. It comes out in the Sefer that again, if it's a mute of people, you're allowed to do it, but if you have a reason that you would suspect that Rov of the customers are going to be Jewish for some reason, then you would actually have better to shut down the website. Why better? Because there are still ways of being matir in certain cases. I'm not going to get into it, you speak to a Rav, but there are still other reasons why you can get around Lifnei Iver and Misayei LeDvar Avera. In these cases, that's not for now. What I want to bring is that they bring that Rabbi Yashiv said that it actually depends. Rabbi Yashiv said is that it actually depends in the cases of whether or not there is an equal buying opportunity, like you mentioned before. If this product is not available in all places, like you have a specialty item, let's say, I'm assuming a flash sale, or if you have an item which is not readily available, if you don't have an equal buying option for this item, so Rabbi Yashiv held that in combination of that with a new ha'ara that he had, and this is also where you see the scope of the Gedolei Yisrael, how they saw everything, is that we have a halacha in Gemara Sanhedrin, is that when you want to deal with a mixture, we're saying that when you have a mute of non-religious people on your website, we say the rove wipes them out, near the mute. Comes Rabbi Yashiv and he says that even though I know there's a mute, but in combination, I guess, with this non-equal buying option, I don't know exactly the svara of it, he says is that we have a rule of, even in bittul, we don't say bittul in certain cases. We don't say bittul when we have a mixture of kol kavua kamechza ametz, when you have something established in one place, you can't have something come and wipe it out. So where does that apply here? So Rabbi Yashiv said, when a person goes onto a website, this was about 6-7 years ago, he said a person goes on a website, they're in the comfort of their home, they're sitting on a computer, they're sitting on their couch, a person is in his home, and in a person's home, they are kavua. So it comes Rabbi Yashiv and he says that even though these people are mute, but kol kavua kamechza ametz, he says that the non-religious Jew who's on your website on Shabbos buying is actually not batel, and he holds that you have to actually shut down the website because of this mute using this rule of kol kavua kamechza ametz. Now that was just getting through. So what did we have come out? What was the hara of the change of technology in this case? Rabbi Yashiv was nifter a few years after the Sefer came out, right before the time of the Sefer came out. But Rabbi Yashiv was talking about, in, let's say, 2009, 2010. 2009, 2010, people, the iPhone only came out in the year 2007, I think. So people weren't used to buying on their phones. But if you think about it nowadays, maybe even according to Rabbi Yashiv, we could come out and say that Rabbi Yashiv would not have this problem anymore. Because people are on their phones. People are all over the streets buying. So we checked, and if rove of the people are not buying in their houses anymore, then even Rabbi Yashiv would have changed his psak, seemingly, and not had a problem with kol kavua, because people are in their houses anymore. There is no more kol kavua kmetzal mepsadami. So I tried checking into these statistics, and web traffic on mobile phones in the year 2017 was 50.3%. In the year 2017, mobile phones, mobile traffic on the internet passed computers. And last year in 2018 is 52.2%. So we already have passed Rove internet traffic. People on the internet is now switched from computers onto phones last year. So, but that doesn't help us because we don't care that people are on the internet on their phones. We want to know when people are buying on their phones. So retail sales of mobile internet, however, in the year 2018 was only 39.6% last year. So we still haven't reached Rove on your phone yet. But they predict that by the year 2021, sometime in that year, they're going to pass. And it'll go from 49 to 53.9%. So assuming that that happens, is it going to be okay or not? Will Rabbi Yashiv agree? So we're thinking back and forth. And also, how do we dan kol kavua? Is a person kavua in his house? What if he goes into another person's house? Or what about when they're at work or when they're in school? What was that? Yeah, so it's hard to know what kol kavua. There's a Gemara in Ksubis that speaks about if a person is ma'anis, another woman, that he goes into her house, and the Gemara says that he's not kavua anymore. So some big Talmud Chacham told me that you see that kol kavua is only in a person's own house. So again, we'd have to dan all the hours, but he's using the phone. So then you have to think about, it doesn't matter if he's using his phone or not. It depends where he is. So you actually forget about using the phones now. You actually have to find out where people are when they're using their phone, when they're making the purchases. Are they in their house or they're not in their house? Not depending on how they use the device. The person using his phone in his house is still kavua. So then again, now the numbers drop again, and you have less people making purchases. But then I was thinking about it. What day of the week are we speaking about? We're speaking about Shabbos. On Saturday, there is no work, there is no school, there is no. People don't leave their houses generally. So even if we would find out that actual mobile e-commerce of people buying things has actually gotten higher, we'd actually have to find out what is the case on Saturday, on Shabbos day, of how many people are actually making purchases in their own home, regardless of what device they use. So that's actually going to be very hard to get that number over the road. So this issue of Rabbi Yashiv having a problem with the cases of when there is non-equal buying option. Again, if there is a completely equal option that this non-religious Jew has, that he can buy your item just as much as somewhere else, Rabbi Yashiv is maskim that there is no problem of kol kavua kmetzal mepsadami. I'm not sure why, but that was what he said. That's what David Morgenstern said, one of his biggest talmidim said. So that's the newest, that was the next case that we've said. I think we've already run out of time. There was one other case I wanted to say, but I could say that quickly. So that was the second case. So you see is that the mobile traffic and people buying their phones would actually make a difference in this psak of Rabbi Yashiv, whether or not. So as of now, it still would be that, according to Rabbi Yashiv, would be a problem. I'll quickly say in the next 2-3 minutes, a third case is affiliate marketing. Affiliate marketing means many people have a website, a blog, or they give reviews on items, and they actually make money. How do they make money? So what they do is they have this special link that they put on their website, and they say, oh, this is the review for the item, buy it here. When you click on that link, it's a funny link, it's not the normal link. What that link is, it has a special code in it. When you click it and you go to whatever website it is, we'll use Amazon again as this case, Amazon has already given that person, that website owner, a special link for every product that he refers to. And therefore, anytime someone refers that item, refers any customer who clicks and goes through to Amazon, it sticks a little tag, like a cookie, let's say, an invisible, very small cookie onto that person's web browser. And Amazon sees that this person has come to them through this website or this review person. And now, for whatever determined amount of time, and many companies use this, almost all companies on the internet use this. This is called, it's a commission-based sales. You send us customers, we pay you a percentage of what they make. So in this case also, when the people are coming to Amazon, it makes a big difference in many cases. It comes up on Shabbos, and it comes up on Ba'isrei Anah, Pesach, also, Chametz Shavuot Leva Pesach, and Abbas B'Challah, these are all Isrei Anah. Whether or not you're allowed to make money from that person, because if the person comes through to the website, you'd refer to them because there's a good company for diapers. And the person now goes, in the next 7 days or 30 days, they go and they buy Avodah Zarah, or Basar V'Chalav, or Yai Nesach, or anything that's Asa, or Chametz Shavuot Leva Pesach. So now Amazon, or the company, is going to pay you a percentage of the sales from Yisrei Anah. So that's going to be problematic. And actually, the Maisa, that is the Halacha, they bring over here, in the new Sefer that he came out with last year, is that if the website actually sells Yisrei Anah, then you actually can't make affiliate marketing with that. So anyone who refers to Amazon, actually, because they're such a big company, and they sell Yisrei Anah, so you actually can't work with affiliate marketing. But that's not what I'm saying. That's not what it comes to. The halacha is, on Shabbos, are you allowed to make money? Because forget Yisrei Anah. What if it's not Yisrei Anah? What if it's an item that's not Yisrei Anah, but someone clicks through and they buy something on Shabbos? So you're making money on Shabbos because someone was referred to Amazon. Now, anything that person buys, let's say he buys something on Shabbos, you are making a commission off of sales and payments on Shabbos. So the bringing on the Sefer over here is that, again, that would be an issue of Schar Shabbos. And in this case, we said Schar Shabbos, by the case of the website, wasn't a problem because you were actually buying an item. In this case, if you actually are offering a service, you're getting paid for a service of forwarding to somebody else on Shabbos. So that would be a problem of Schar Shabbos. So in this case, what was it? Yeah, so this is where we come in. And we say that what the Sefer says has actually changed. In the Sefer, he said, so Rav Shlomo Miller said, is that since it's not a real case of Schar Shabbos, it's only Mechsi Kischar Shabbos, it looks like Schar Shabbos, then it's going to be okay. What's the reason why? Because the way affiliate marketing started out is that the way the person gets paid is that the website offers out to all these websites that refer and give you reviews, they give them, they say, here is $500, here's $1,000, and as you send us people, we will deduct from the amount that we owe you, but they get paid up front. So if I have a review website where I review shoes or diapers or whatever it is, I already got my payment, and then as we go along with my referrals, they would deduct from the amount of money that is owed to me until it goes down to zero, and then I would make a new deal. So since I've already gotten my payment, and what we're just doing is deducting from that amount as we go on, so Rav Shlomo Miller said that that's only Mechzik Ischar Shabbos, and it's not actual Ischar Shabbos, and that would be allowed. So that was where he ended over here. Yeah, it's not an actual gain. You're just deducting from... They call it Mechzi. It's called Mechzi Kischar Shabbos. Now, where do we come in? Again, I had to ask over here is that nowadays many websites do not work like this. Maybe that is some way that some websites do work, but for sure, Amazon and many other big websites, they're not forced to give money up front because they're such a big company. What they do now is affiliate marketing. They only pay you in the end of the day. After all the sales, they calculate at the end of the month, they see how many referrals you've done, and then you get one check at the end of the day, especially if people are doing a lot, they don't want to deal with that. So if now the way that affiliate marketing has changed and the people are actually getting paid differently for referring, if they're only getting paid at the end of the day, then we lose this whole heter of Mechzik Ischar Shabbos and actually comes into a real Ischar Shabbos. So again, 2019, when this Sefer was written, in 2011, 2012, it could have been that Elchanan they got paid in advance. But now we have to adapt.
Why is it different than the vending machine?
That's different. But we're going to end over here. So just saying is that the halacha would change, and it would now not be allowed, and you would no longer have this heter of Mechzik Ischar Shabbos, and it would actually become usur to make money off these affiliate markets on Shabbos. So I'm just going to finish off. So we have this shiur that we continue giving Gideon's on weekdays. I actually offer the shiur live. In America, it comes out to 4:45 till 5 p.m. It's a 10-minute class. In London, it comes out to about 9:50 p.m. till 10 p.m. It's a 10-minute shiur. And you could join that. I have a flyer and I have the join link. And many people who don't open their emails, which I didn't know that people don't open their email anymore, they only use WhatsApp, so they created a WhatsApp group where you could get the 4-minute shiur delivered straight to your phone on weekdays as the shiur goes as well. The website is called moneyhalacha.com. Good.